Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am Jim Palmer, your host, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. So in the last few weeks, we've been taking a look at social media and talking a lot about how to effectively use social media to build a stronger list, build a larger, more profitable business. We looked at the various platforms in social media. This week, we're going to switch gears just a bit and talk about mindset. If you watch Newsletter Guru TV or read my newsletters, you know that I love to talk about both the marketing and business building strategies necessary to grow a business, but I also like to talk about, because I think, frankly, it's extremely important, so I like to balance out the technical and the strategic with mindset. Because, you know, I think the truth is, without the proper mindset, frankly, all the good strategies aren't much good at all. So on today's show, I'm going to bring you a terrific interview that I did with Meredith Bell. You know, Meredith is just a very special, talented entrepreneur. She spent years training and working with entrepreneurs and small business owners, helping them up their game, sharpen their mindset so they can build more profitable, sustaining businesses. You know, Meredith is the owner and president of Performance Support Systems. And in full disclosure, she was in my coaching program for 3 years, and she's a really great friend of mine. So I know you're going to love what Meredith has to share with you on mindset and how to build a profitable, sustaining business. So let's get right to it.
Meredith, welcome to our call. Thank you so much for being my guest expert this month.
Oh, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Meredith, so the topic of today's call is the number one thing you must do to build a business that lasts. And that's really, you know, what everybody wants to do is have a lasting business. So I'd like to ask you some general questions about how business owners in my group can work on kind of themselves and their own development. And then if we have some time, maybe halfway through, if I could transition, I'd also like to talk to you about how they can help their clients change their behavior and master their skills. Because one of the things I heard loud and clear when you spoke in Atlanta was that if you can't help your own customers and clients change their behavior skills, the chance of them using and benefiting from and therefore staying your client longer is really hindered. So that's really a unique piece that you have figured out. So is that good? Is that a good
That sounds good great. Plan? Yeah. Excellent. I'd love to cover both of those so
okay.
We can get started.
All right. So my first question, Meredith, I heard you say that business know-how isn't enough for a small business owner or entrepreneur who really wants to be successful. What else besides the know-how does a person need?
Well, there's this whole area of needing to be strong as a person to deal with the challenges that you've got, because you can take all the marketing, sales, internet skills, you know, all of those courses and programs. But if you're missing what I call your core areas, if those aren't developed, then you may not have what it takes to do all those other skills. For example, we refer to these as people skills and personal strengths. And I can't show this illustration now, but if you think about a cutaway in the earth and how it shows all the layers. If you think of business skills more on the outer layer, what's really at the core of a person and determines how successful they're going to be are these personal strengths. And we've identified actually over 40, but just a few examples to make it more concrete would be courage or perseverance or self-discipline and focus. The things that you need to have in order to do the hard challenges that you're going to face. as an entrepreneur, because having been one for so long, you know, you have these, well, I call surprise of the week. You know, there's just things that come up that you weren't expecting. And sometimes they're not good. And so how well you respond to that really has a lot to determine, you know, with what results you're going to get. And the other core area is people skills. And that's how effective are you at interacting with the people who help you keep your doors open. That would be your customers and your employees, vendors that you have to work with, strategic partners. You know, the list goes on, but a core piece, of course, is how well you interact with your customers. So those are two things that I think are just really important, and it has to do with who you are as a person.
I agree with that. And, you know, the one thing you said which almost made me chuckle is the surprise of the week. You only get surprised weekly? I pretty much get surprised daily.
Well, that's just a phrase that we use internally. But, yeah, it can be any. It can happen more often than that, for sure.
Yeah, and I totally see. For everybody listening to this, you know, one of the things that I realize, and, you know, I actually had this really drilled home to me about 5 years ago, was that we all have a core strength or a core skill. Whatever it is, kind of the reason you started your business, whether it was helping people with newsletter marketing, or you are a plumber, an electrician, you build decks, I mean, whatever your core strength is, we all need, that's fine, you've got that skill and talent, but you have to develop the head game too. So that's why I love having you on. Every once in a while, I have to mix up my interviews a little bit and not just go on teaching strategies and whatnot. We have to keep our head game sharp. So, Meredith, how do you develop these core strengths?
Well, first of all, you have to know what they are and why they're important. So that's step one. And you have to believe that they matter to your success. You can't brush them off and say, well, that's not something I need to spend time working on. I think that the most successful entrepreneurs are ones that are constantly working on themselves, putting themselves in situations that require them to stretch out of their comfort zone. So you have to be willing to stretch. And so those are all, to me, preliminary steps, but they're important foundations for actually working on whatever it is that you've decided, I need to get better at this. And then, of course, you need to find out, well, how do I do it right? With a skill, like a people skill, there's a really, you know, effective way to listen, or steps for resolving conflict. When it comes to some of those inner strengths, like self-confidence and perseverance, there's not a 1-2-3 step process for, you know, developing that particular strength. It's learning how to exhibit that behavior in your daily life when you are faced with a situation. So knowing what does that look like, what do people have to do in order to show more confidence or show courage? And of course, it all translates into behaviors, steps that you actually take, actions that you take. And so it's a process of trying things and learning from them. And it's a cycle that you go through.
You know, I totally get that. And, you know, one of the things I think holds a lot of people up or slows down their progress is that if they read a book, go to a seminar, have a consult with somebody like yourself, they tend to learn what they need to do, but then as soon as they leave there or the next day, they kind of slip back into their habits because we are creatures of habit. You know, I think everybody's heard, you know, it takes like 21 days to change a habit or something like that. And that therefore helps you create a new pattern. So it really is something that when you want to change a habit, whether it's self-confidence or whether it's whatever it is, you need to actually set a clear agenda and focus that you are going to do it like every day for 21 days. And that helps because I've done that on a number of things. So what does it take? What do you think it takes to replace an old habit or, you know, to change a behavior pattern and put in something new that would help us achieve more and, you know, be more successful?
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got to have a model of the right way to do it, so you know what it looks like, and then you also have to have a strong commitment to make the change. If I could talk for a minute, Jim, about this whole thing of creating habits and what it takes.
Sure.
The whole thing of it taking 21 days, there's nothing magical about 21 days. And the reason is what actually has to happen in the brain. And I think that it would be really helpful for the folks on the call to understand the reality there of what's required, because willpower alone isn't going to do it. And the reason is you've developed a certain way of doing things over a period of many years. And so to think that all of a sudden you're just going to, change that, it violates the actual biology of your brain. Because what has happened is your brain has created these pathways that are very comfortable for you. And so it's not easy to change that. You actually have to create a different pathway than the one that's already established. And there's no delete key in your brain that you can hit to say, okay, get rid of this. It's a permanent physical structure. I shouldn't say permanent because it can be changed, but it's a physical structure that exists in your brain. And so you have to do something different. And if I could use an analogy, I think it would help. I used this at the conference, and people came up afterwards and said it was so valuable. So I think that the folks on this call would find it useful too. Do you remember what I talked about with the roadway?
Yeah, I love that example. That's awesome.
Yeah. The way that you currently do things, your habit, is like this comfortable road that you've been traveling for a long time. And so you know where all the curves are, you know where the stops are. It's really automatic. You could almost drive it with your eyes closed. But over time, you've started experiencing some problems with doing it that way. And so you decide, I need to do something different. Well, what happens is, when you make that decision and you learn what a new way is, whether it's a sport, let's say that you're taking tennis lessons or golf lessons and you're working with a pro and he says, okay, you need to do it this way now instead. Well, you have that old way. And so now you have to create a new pathway for doing it differently. And you don't lay that over top of the existing roadway. You're starting from scratch, which means it's the equivalent of a dirt road. You are starting in a hard place. And so it's going to be bumpy and rough at times, and you're going to be tempted to jump back over to that comfortable road because that's what you know, and you can do it automatically. This other way is not comfortable. It's awkward. And what you're trying to do is build that road from a dirt road to a superhighway. And over time, you can get there. But the process of getting there has its obstacles, because you're going to feel uncomfortable at times. You're going to feel awkward. You know, the first time you try to do anything, whether it's using a new software program or writing your first sales letter or creating your first video, the first time you're behind the camera, you know, it's awkward. You don't have the structures in place in your brain for doing that automatically, and it takes repetition and a lot of practice to get it right. And so that's really what's required, is practice and repetition. And you made a good point. People can read a book or go through a DVD and think, oh, I've got it, but they don't. They have some head knowledge, but knowing is not the same as doing.
Yeah. How can you get to the point where you're able to actually perform the new behavior automatically?
Well, you've got to practice a lot. And that's where a lot of people will give up, Jim. They're not willing to do the number of practices that are required. Now, I don't know if you read Outliers, that Malcolm Gladwell book, where he talked about the really elite level of performers put in 10,000 hours. mm-hmm. of practice to get to the level of expertise they have. Well, you don't have to put in that much time to get good at something in your business, but the principle is exactly on track. Because what you're trying to do is, if you think of your brain building these connections, at first it's like a very thin wire, and you want to make a thick cable out of it. That's when it's going to become that superhighway, where you just travel it automatically, and you do it unconsciously and easily. And so to do that, we actually have a process. We use the acronym FAR for focus, action, and reflection. That's really it's a simple formula, and it really works, but it just requires commitment and time to make it happen. So if you want, I can talk a little bit about those three pieces.
Sure. Let's go ahead with that.
All right. We're going to take a quick time out here, but on the other side of this brief pause, Meredith is going to share exactly what FAR, F-A-R, stands for and how you can use it in your business. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this: "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better." Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
And we're back. Let's get right back to our interview with the president of Performance Support Systems, Meredith Bell.
So if you want, I can talk a little bit about those three pieces.
Sure. Let's go ahead with that.
Yeah, the focus is where you decide on the one thing you want to work on. Because if you try to approach a lot of different things at one time, you're looking at a setup for failure. Because your brain is just going to get confused and you can't concentrate on that many things. So what's the one thing that if you worked on it, it would make the biggest difference for you, both in your business and in your life? And most of us know what that is. But if you're not sure, you just need to ask a few people that know you well, because they'll tell you. Most people can see our blind spots and point them out to us, but we have to ask because they're not always going to volunteer that. So if you're not sure, somebody else can help you figure that out. But once you know what it is, then you need to take action. You find out the right way to do it, and then you start doing it. And what most people skip, if they do get started and they get this momentum going, they skip the R, which is reflect, which is to take time to think about each action that you've taken. So you process it and say, okay, what did I learn from this experience, so I don't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. And that's the problem that a lot of people have. They go from one action to another action to another action without taking that time to stop and reflect. And it actually accelerates the learning process if you build in that reflection time, because you get really important takeaways from each experience that you can apply to the next action that you take.
Well, Meredith, what can you do if you fall back into an old habit, you know, while you're learning a new one? Kind of like, you're making progress and all of a sudden you stumble. And, you know, one of the things I was challenged with a couple of years ago was getting off this constant feed of news, news junkie. And mm-hmm. When I did it, I actually felt so much better. But, you know, I admit it right here in front of a lot of people, I slipped back. I mean, there's so much going on in our world, but so it seems like you want to be informed. But yet it is a negative. It's kind of puts a negative track in your brain. So I slip. So everybody slips. I guess. So what do you do if you fall back into an old habit? While you're learning or after you've learned a new one?
Right. Well, first of all, recognize that it's normal, that you're not perfect, and so you're going to have these times when that old pathway, because it's still there. Even if you build a superhighway, that old path is still there. It's just that the less you use it, the less it'll be tempting to, you know, to go over on that road instead of the one you've created. But I think a key thing is not to let that inner critic take over and beat yourself up about it. Just say, okay, I did it, and let it go. But then you can also use that reflection step to ask yourself some questions that will help you move through that process and let it go faster. And once you learn these questions, you can apply them to any experience in life. You can use them with family members, or someone in your business where you've seen that maybe they've fallen into a bad habit and you want to help them learn from that experience. So I'll share these questions with your listeners, and if they take notes on them and start just automatically asking these anytime they do what you did there, I think they'll find it quicker and easier to let it go, move on, and get back into the swing of the new behavior that they want to have anyway.
Okay. All right.
Okay? So the first one is simply, what happened? You know, what did you do? What was the sequence of events? And then after that, why did it happen that way? You know, what were your motives? What was behind it? And this is where you have to be honest with yourself. You know, you're answering these questions for yourself, so it's no good to, you know, try to fool yourself. Just say, okay, why did I do that? You know, why did I get off track there? By the way, these questions can be used in a positive experience as well as one where things didn't go the way you wanted them to. So it can reinforce doing things the right way. I don't want to put just a negative slant on this. And so the third question is, what were the consequences? You know, what if it was a negative thing, what was the fallout? You know, what was the bad outcome? But if it was a positive, what good things came from it? Because you want to reinforce that in your own mind. But by looking at the consequences, it helps you realize, gee, there were some things here that happened that I'm not happy about, and I want to do things differently in the future. So that leads to question four. What will you do differently in the future? How will you change things? In your case, you know, maybe it's your environment that you're setting up for yourself so you don't even, you know, look at the TV or you don't go online so that you can check out the news, but you figure out how you're going to change things up going forward so that your result is different. And the fifth question...
Before you get to the fifth, can I share something with you?
Oh, yeah.
One of the things I did, and I started this, actually, it's a fresh topic because I started it a few weeks ago, is, you know, of course, I got my pal Toby here. So one of the things I did is we go out for our walk at about 10 minutes to 7, and that's generally when the TV might go on, you know, catch some morning shows or whatever, even though they're full of crap. Just turn them on. It's like, I think most of America turns them on because it's just out of habit. But so I now go for a walk at 10 of 7, and I pretty much miss all the opening negativity. So it's a change of behavior. Does that get me a gold star, Meredith?
Yeah, that's an excellent example. But see, what you're doing there is you're starting to ingrain a new behavior pattern.
Yep.
To replace the thing that you don't want to do. And that's a good thing, because finding a replacement to do instead of the old one, you know, people do that in the 12-step programs all the time. You know, they're avoiding the environment that creates the temptation for them to fall back to the old way of doing things.
Right, right, exactly.
And so creating a new environment can be a part of what you're learning here. What do I need to do for me? So number five is really looking at what is your next step. So you've let in step four, you're looking at into the future, what do you want to do differently? But what am I going to do now? So what it does is it helps you define the next action that you're going to take. So if you look at our FAR process, the focus, action, reflection, once you've reflected and answer question number five, you actually set yourself up for your next action. Because it's really a cycle of taking action and reflecting, taking action and reflecting. So you get into the habit of thinking about, all right, what are the good things you know, that I need to do to help me with this. A personal example for me is one of the things in the area of self-discipline that I have struggled with is easily, you know, getting off track of my priorities for the day to, you know, talk to somebody on the phone or answer an email because of my core value of being responsive to clients and to our customers and having them experience, you know, have a great experience working with us. But there are times when that really derails me from staying focused on my priorities. And so getting into the habit of making my priority list of the top six things I'm going to absolutely get done today and budgeting how much time they'll take and not looking at my email or taking direct phone calls except, you know, with appointments, all of those things help me in accomplishing what it is that I really want to get done in the course of a day. But at the end of each day, I go through these five questions because I'm not 100% good about doing all that. So, you know, it's still a learning process for me. And Dan Kennedy is my role model for that because he's probably the most disciplined person in terms of organizing his time and his day that, you know, I've ever seen.
And his book, No BS Time Management, I think it's called. Is it mm-hmm. Time Management? Or I think so, but it's one of the No BS books. It's brilliant in what he writes about and the interruptions. He really takes to task that whole open door policy that a lot of
mm-hmm.
people have. The heck with
yeah.
open door? I'm working in here, you know what he says? That's pretty funny. So maybe we can switch gears real quick. And I want to ask you about how can we – as information marketers and business owners start, because I think you've covered some excellent stuff about how we can kind of take care of our own mindset and change some of our stuff. But one of the things that I learned in my business, and it's really the culmination was developing the Double My Retention program, is that when I create a new way to help people with my programs, they do stay longer. So people are probably going, what the heck did Jim just say? The CPR in my client retention strategy is consume, positioning, and reciprocity. So the one I want to talk about just a little bit for the sake of this call, which because I think it's most appropriate, is consume. What I've, mm-hmm. what I've learned, you know, from Dan and Bill and others, you have to help people consume what it is that you do. So, you know, let's assume that everybody listening just really creates a very high-quality program or a high-quality service. If you have an information product, you know, you've put together this amazing thing and you have this heart and mindset to over-deliver. What happens is, you know, I like to, if you want to use kind of a picture analogy, kind of like Meredith's dirt road, so to speak, you give people this giant box of stuff, and it's all good stuff, but it's such a big box of stuff, they don't know what to do with it. And when people are confused, they don't take action. And so what I did in my program, Meredith, for No Hassle Newsletters, is I figured out a way to help them from the minute they say, yes, I want to be a newsletter marketer, to help them get their first issue out, to remind them about the second, to remind them there's several things I remind them to do and what not to do. And when so people get started and they start seeing results, well, look at that. They stay longer. So, you know, so for every having now set that up, I think, appropriately enough, how can the people on the call that want their customers and clients to stay longer, how can they change their mindset? Was that like mm-hmm. a gigantic question or what?
Well, it is, but I want to just put in a plug for your Double My Retention program because I have that, and it's outstanding. Jim, you really nailed a lot of great things that you can do, anybody in any business can do up front to get the clients engaged and stay longer. So I won't reveal your strategies, but I've got a few that I have found to be extremely valuable. They're simple and they're things that people could start doing right now. And it's true for any kind of business. It's especially, you know, true for information marketers where you've got this product that you want people to consume. But for people that have brick and mortar stores as well, some of the things that I'll share I think would apply to them too. It's that old saying, you know, how can I make this work in my business? So you just have to give a little bit of thought to that. But the first one that I will mention is something that hardly anybody does. I wanted to just mention real quick first, though, before I share that one, Dan Kennedy's latest report for the Information Marketing Association was called the Missing X Factor, and it's all about helping people with personal development. And so one of the key things that you want to do is bond with your customers to help them actually become better versions of themselves, if I could say it that way. If someone feels a person they're buying from has a personal interest in them and really cares about them, that creates an amazing relationship that's going to last for a very long time. And so one of the ways that a business owner can do this is with that very first contact when someone buys. If someone's making a purchase online, I think probably most any business owner has in place for the person to receive, obviously, a receipt of their purchase, and oftentimes a thank you email, you know, that expresses appreciation for them buying. But here's a strategy that I know some folks are doing, but not very many, that makes a huge difference, and that is to place a personal phone call to that person to thank them personally for making the investment. And that actually happened to me last year. I bought Ari Galper's Unlock the Game program, and within 5 minutes of me pushing the buy button, my phone rang, and it was Ari saying, "Meredith, I see that you just bought Unlock the Game, and you're going to love it." And so he set this very positive expectation for me, gave me some insights of ways to get the most out of the program. You know, we all want to feel somebody cares about us, and that communicated that to me. I mattered to him. And no matter how confident and self-sufficient someone is, that being affirmed as a human being is a basic need we all have. And so if you can find a way to do that in your business, you're going to score big with the people who are buying from you.
Yeah, making your customers feel appreciated and special. What a very, very powerful message indeed. I hope you enjoyed this very special interview and episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with Meredith Bell. You know, Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and never, ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out and do something nice for someone. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.